This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
On his website, the comedian Jonathan Katz declares that his comedy is not for everybody. He says it's for everybody else. Take this example from his podcast, Hey, We're Back, about trying to tell a joke to his dentist while getting a root canal.
You know, the last time I was here, there was a woman in the waiting room with two seeing eye dogs. I said, look, it's none of my business, but why two? She said one was for reading.
Is that funny? That's a horrible joke. That's kind of brutal, isn't it?
How about if you said it just doesn't work for you? I could live with that.
Jonathan Katz is an author, producer, actor, musician, and a comedian who co-created and starred in the hit animated series Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist, which aired on Comedy Central in the late 90s. This Sunday, he'll bring his unique not-for-everybody brand of comedy to Improv Boston for the start of a monthly residency. His one-man show is called Hey, We're Back with Jonathan Katz. And Jonathan Katz joins us now from his home in Newton. And Jonathan, great to have you on Radio Boston.
Oh, it's so nice to be here. Anthony, two things. The actress you just heard, her name is Ren Ross. And the funnier part is when I insist on billing her for my comedy.
So tell us a little bit about this one-man show, Hey, We're Back. We just heard a clip from the podcast version. What do you want to do on stage?
Well, I've been doing stand-up for more than 30 years, and every time I do it, I try to make what's perhaps the simplest and most elegant art form a little more complicated. Because I used to just stand in front of a microphone and tell jokes. But now I'm interacting with pre-recorded audio. I'm working with three superb comedians via Skype. Sarah Silverman, BJ Novak, and Todd Barry will be joining us.
Oh, fantastic. Let me ask you, Jonathan Katz, about your brand of comedy. One of its defining characteristics is it's calm. It's understated. It's not loud. It's not rambunctious like a lot of comedians. How did you develop this comedic style?
I think my idea is to give the audience as little information as they need to determine that what I'm saying is funny. I think Stephen Wright said it very well. When the kind of comedy he does, he lets the audience come to him. He doesn't go after them.
I want to ask what that was like for you when you started. You know, you mentioned you've been at this business for over 30 years. You started way back when in New York. And on your website, you write that in the early days, some comedians had a pool of how long you would last on stage. As you say, no one guessed 25 years. It's actually been longer than that. But what were those early days like for you? How challenging was it to break through with your particular brand of comedy?
Well, the first time I did my cousin Paul was pushing me into performing. So I went to a folk room in the Village, and I was wearing a chamois shirt, much too tight. And I sat down with my guitar on my lap, and every button popped open.
Oh, no.
And that was one of the good days. But the beginning was rough. But first, I used to bill myself as the White Paul Simon. And
wait a minute, the White Paul Simon?
Yeah, because I thought I was the only guy that sounded whiter than him. And I think almost as important as what the crowd thought was what the comedians at the bar thought after the show. Getting their approval was almost more important in a certain way.
Yeah, and how did that go?
They accepted me into their club. It was so exciting to hear one guy talking about a guy who will pay your bus fare to go to Washington to do comedy. I couldn't believe that was possible.
Jonathan Katz, you live in Massachusetts now, and it's a fact you often reference in your comedy. So let's listen to an example of that. This is from a stand-up set you did on Comedy Central back in 1993.
I live in Cambridge, Massachusetts now, right smack in the middle of Harvard Square. And I like it, but Cambridge is the kind of place where you can walk into a children's bookstore and find a self-help section. Yesterday, I saw a book for five-year-olds called Learning to Tie Your Inner Shoe.
Learning to Tie Your Inner Shoe. I like that. So you have a really interesting background. Former ping pong champion of New York, musician, songwriter. What was the name of your R&B band? I just came across that today.
Cats and Jammers.
Cats and Jammers, of course.
Yeah. I would describe this as a mediocre band. You know, you can't set out to be mediocre. You have to try and be great.
So and that was the indication that that wasn't going to be a lifelong career.
I haven't given up on writing songs, but I've given up on writing great songs.
I see.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you just a little bit about your animated Comedy Central sitcom, Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist, in which your character is a therapist with comedians for clients. So here's a clip from an episode featuring Ray Romano.
It's my insecurity, Doc. That's what it is. I can't handle any kind of rejection.
Well, that's everybody, Ray. That's everybody's afraid of rejection.
I don't even like to buy a can of soda anymore because I get too upset when it won't accept my dollar. I don't know if you've ever been turned down by a soda machine. I had a perfectly flat dollar the other day. I checked the corners. It was ready. It was soda ready. And you know what really annoys me is it teases you, the machine. It'll take it a little. And you get psyched at that moment.
Sure. You know, I took my role so seriously in the beginning of that show that I made two people cry. Yeah.
What happened?
I was so invested in the role of therapy that I actually was bringing them back to some very painful moments in their life.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you where this interest in professional therapy came from. What made you realize that it could provide such good grist for comedy?
Well, it wasn't my idea as much as the idea of my collaborator, Tom Snyder, who just knew that it was a great narrative device and used so often in movies and TV shows. Just a great way of getting people to tell their stories. Hmm. What was exciting about it is that in the year 95 or 96, when the show debuted, if you were going to see a stand-up comedian, there probably was a brick wall behind him.
Right.
So seeing these same comics in a new animated way was exciting.
I thought it worked out great. I loved that show.
Oh, thank you.
Well, speaking of personal matters, one area of your life that you've been pretty open about is the fact that you have MS, which you talk about in your comedy. So this is from your 2006 Transom special, An Evening of 75 Laughs with Jonathan Katz, in which you're talking to your doctor right after being diagnosed.
Dr. Dawson, what do people do? They find out they have MS, a guy my age. I was 49 at the time. And he said, some guys have 10 affairs and some guys climb Mount Everest. So my wife and I talked it over. And we decided on one affair and three romantic dinners. Because I'm not an outdoorsman.
I love that joke.
Your
wife is very open, evidently.
She's a good sport, my wife.
You know, your comedy has reminded me a little bit of, I don't know if you've heard this before, of Woody Allen's, but it's Woody Allen without the mania.
Yeah, I think one thing I have in common with him is stammering.
But it's more than the stammering. It's the sort of deeply sort of psychological, and you know, talking about neuroses as well.
I do. I don't think I live with his neuroses, but I mean, I have my own neuroses. I'm Jewish. I don't think you have to be Jewish to be neurotic, but it's like a head start.
So, speaking of MS, you received that diagnosis back in 97, which was really at the peak of your career. How is it? Has it changed your approach to comedy at all?
It makes animation much more appealing because, you know, as a person, I have a difficult time walking often, but as a cartoon character, I can fly.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you one more thing about your live one-man show that you're about to bring to Improv Boston, because it occurred to us here that you've been behind the microphone for a while, both in your podcast and in Dr. Katz. Are you looking forward to being before a live audience again?
I am. But, you know, like you probably, I'm more comfortable talking into a mic than I am talking into a phone or talking to someone live.
So are you a little nervous about it?
I will be by the time I get there, but right now I'm feeling pretty prepared. You know, it's such a complex show, but I have a lot of support. Anthony, I wanted to ask you to do one thing for me, because this is the kind of thing you might experience if you're lucky at Improv Boston. I forget how you introduced me, but if you could just do it the same, but this time hold your own tongue while you're doing it.
Hold my own tongue while I'm introducing you?
Yeah, just for a second, just see what it's like.
And do you mean just say your name while I hold my tongue?
Yeah.
Okay. Jonathan Katz.
What was your childhood ambition, Anthony? Keep holding your tongue.
Yeah. When I was very young?
Yeah.
To be a fireman.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for indulging me. But
Did you understand what I said?
Yeah, you wanted to be a fireman.
Right, exactly.
That's funny. I was told
you
were quite
eloquent. But wait, why did you want to do that? You need to.
Because that's the kind of thing you might have the opportunity to do if you come to my show at Improv Boston.
Okay. Well, that's reason enough to come. Well, Jonathan Katz, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Anthony.
That's Jonathan Katz. He begins a monthly residence at Improv Boston this Sunday with his one-man show, Hey, We're Back with Jonathan Katz. A lot more information is on our website at radioboston.org.
Anthony, I'm actually glad you didn't achieve your childhood dream. It's much better to have you here at Radio Boston. Well, before we go today, we do want to say goodbye to a person who's been a great colleague and great friend to all of us here at the show. For the past 2 years, Dina Rosendorf has helped make Radio Boston the great program it is every day.
She's done it with intelligence, with humor, with grace. We'll miss her. She's going about as far away as is humanly possible, all the way back to her home in Melbourne, Australia. Dina, we'll miss you.
Safe travels, Dina, and do come back and visit. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again Monday.